Welcome to the Bruins Benders Podcast, Season 3, Episode 22. Montgomery Burns with Maddie and Smitty brought to you on the Inside the Rink Podcast Network. InsideTheRink.com is your one-stop shop for all your NHL, AHL, ECHL news, insight, and analysis. Follow on X at Inside_the_rink. Download the Inside the Rink app. For extensive Bruins coverage, watch us on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button down there. Subscribe to the YouTube page for Inside the Rink. And hey, let's have some information about ESPN Plus. Let's sign up for it, Smitty.
Yeah, you could sign up for ESPN Plus by going to insidetherink.com/ESPN. It's pretty simple. Anybody can do it. You can get a bundle there too. You get Hulu, you get Disney Plus, you get ESPN Plus. It's like $14.99 a month. Or you just go with the ESPN. But get the other things too, because it's a little cheaper and you get a little more variety in your shows and whatnot. But they have sports, they have movies. They had all the stuff. So go to ESPN Plus, insidetherink.com/ESPN Plus, so you can get all that hockey action and sign up today.
Tell you what, you can also do through Inside the Rink. You can buy tickets to your favorite events on Ticketmaster through insidetherink.com.
You can do that. And we've done it.
Yeah. We've done it.
Down in Florida, we bought tickets to the Panthers Lightning game down in Florida, yep. Right through the Inside the Rink website. Mm-hmm. We clicked right on the Ticketmaster link and bought some tickets that way. And it was a great game. Florida kicked the piss out of Tampa Bay. And we enjoyed it. Had some beverages, mm-hmm. Placed some bets using DraftKings. We got all the bases covered, really.
Yeah, it's almost summertime, so you can obviously going to go to concerts and all sorts of things this summer. This is the summer of you.
Summer of me. Person. Yeah, sure.
It's personally, your summer.
Oh, nice. I love it. Yeah.
And we're going to Daryl Hall and Elvis Costello in July.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Yeah, right around my birthday. A big birthday present for me. Let's go.
Big birthday present.
Get after it.
No doubt about it. So you can do that. Jump on to the description of this very program, and you can get the link to order your tickets to your favorite event through Inside the Rink. All right, it is rapid review time, and the Bruins lost a couple. I'll tell you, when they lost to the Rangers have been tough for them. Mm-hmm. Rangers are a scary team for the Bruins. And there was some talk here about the Bruins kind of, I don't know, coasting into the playoffs and postseason, and Monty has a friggin' fit the other day, and it didn't start well for the Bruins this week.
No, it didn't. And the Rangers do kind of have the number, but the Rangers are a really good team. I mean, they have lots of depth. They have a very good defense and very good goaltending. So they're going to be tough for anybody. But the Bruins really didn't seem, they've been starting slow. They've been having trouble holding leads. Their defensive structure hasn't been great. Their net front battle presence hasn't been great. And then, they lose to the Rangers, and then here come the Flyers, and the Flyers just embarrassed them. I mean, the Bruins didn't really seem up to the challenge. Flyers are desperate to make the playoffs. They're fighting for their lives, and the Bruins just weren't ready to go. And then coming into this Panthers game, the way the Bruins finished the Flyers game and then the way they started practice, Monty lost his mind. He lost his mind because they just haven't seemed to kind of focus in. And he said they weren't ready for the playoffs, just bluntly said it. And a little bit of a tough stretch there, but then they rebound last night with a big win over Florida in Florida against a team that's kind of been their nemesis in the playoffs. The Bruins have handled them this year. They're 3-0 against them this year. Then they play them again on April 6th, so that should be a pretty good tilt. But a good bounce back win last night for the Bruins.
Well, you've talked about this before, and you're a big advocate for your bottom six guys in the playoffs being a big deal.
Yeah.
And making a big difference, like being able to set the tone, being able to give your offensive balance. A lot of times that's the matchup, third lines against each other, whatever, that wins the thing in the end.
Absolutely.
Or has an advantage. So I think that this Bruins team has always been relying on the top guys, and the way they go, the team goes.
100% true.
There's not a lot of depth in that. If they aren't ready to go, the bottom six guys don't always rise to the challenge. So they kind of take on whatever mood or whatever, you know, however the team, you know, the top guys are playing at the time. And I think that this Bruins team has that kind of thing. If Pastrnak and Marchand, Marchand had like 3 goals in 24 games. Like, he's not playing great. Looks to be hitting a little bit of a wall. He's older. He's played every game, which I don't know if I agree with. He's had double hips and that whole thing.
Yeah.
He's been great for the first two thirds of the season or whatever. But for the last 25-ish games, he's been okay. You know, he's been okay. So however they go is how the team goes. And I think that that's part of the issue with them, is that it's not really, I think we're finding out, it's not really Cassidy that was the issue when it comes to that. Like, he would lose his mind. And then they bring in Monty, who was more of a softer voice and positive guy. Well, now he's losing his mind. So what does that say about the core of the team at the end of the day? You know, are they tough enough? Do they want it bad enough? And those types of things.
Yeah, I think that's something that you have to worry about a little bit. I don't know if Monty is. I think he was really more in that instance trying to get their attention. Like, look, we've been pretty good over the course of the season. And we're kind of slipping here and falling into some bad habits, and we got to shake out of this before we start the playoffs, or it's going to be an early round exit. So I think he was kind of,
without a doubt.
Yeah. I think he was kind of trying to light a fire under them there.
Yeah, sure. All right. And that leads us to chirp one. And the chirps are brought to you, seven chirps, brought to you by Lobs Brewing. Lobs Brewing and Tasting Room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specializing in small batch ales and lagers. It's open 7 days a week. Use the coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order. Go to lobsbrewing.com and also follow them at Lobs Brewing for new beers and events. And chirp one is just that. Monty loses his mind at a practice prior to the Panthers game. Is this a sign that he might be getting a little desperate or having to change kind of how he's coaching and his coaching style with this group?
I don't think it's desperation necessarily. I think he was just trying to light a fire under them. You know, desperate is when you're down, you know, 3-1 in a series and you're trying, you know, pulling things out of your ass to try to get the team to respond. I don't think he's lost the team, because they did respond, you know, for the second half of that practice. And then in the Florida game, I thought they showed a lot more kind of fight back and battle than they have. And I think that is actually a good sign for the playoffs. So we'll see what happens there. But it seemed to have caught their attention.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I just hope that, you know, I'm a big believer when you're coaching to stick to your personality. You can't be someone you're not. So if he wants to think that he's going to have to go out and like be a screamer and do this whole thing, that's just not going to work at the end of the day. And I think he is feeling a little bit of pressure now. I mean, they blew it last year with him at the helm. And if they go out with a sort of a whimper in round one now, I mean, you have to really consider whether his job is on the line at that point, and if they're going to continue to go with him if they aren't performing in the playoffs. So, you know, it's going to be a tough first round matchup unless, you know, if they get the Capitals, they'll probably beat the Capitals.
You would hope.
The Wings could be tough. The friggin' Maple Leafs will be really tough. So, you know, who knows what happens there. So I think it's definitely a time where you have to consider whether Monty will survive this if they kind of go in, you know, with a whimper and then go out with a whimper in the first round.
Yeah, I think you have to ask that question. I mean, it's kind of unfair. The guy's been here for 2 years and the team has, you know, had the greatest regular season of all time, but then lost in the playoffs. And then this year, it was kind of expected to be more of kind of a bridge year. You know, you lose some key guys off your team, Bergeron and Krejci and Bertuzzi and Hall, like a lot of you lost a lot of offensive talent and depth off this team, and they responded and they've been pretty good all year long. I mean, they have flaws. Everybody has flaws, with the exception maybe of a couple of teams. So it'll be interesting to see and how things shake out if they do lose early in the playoffs. You know, because he has had such a pretty good regular season, you know, good regular seasons with, you know, especially this year, the expectations were a little bit lower.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, of course, they're going to be a little lower anyway, but they did play pretty well for much of the season. They're right in position to be the top team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
I mean, they are in position to do that, which not a lot of people expected. I mean, I had them second in the division, which, you know, they could still end up there, but I certainly didn't think that they'd win, you know, win the conference or win a President's Trophy or any of that. So it has been a pretty good year considering, but again, it all comes down to the postseason.
It does.
And you just don't, if they don't win and they lose in the first round again, that's not a good thing. A chirp too. And how about this? The Bruins are 9-1-4 when they fight this year. So all you wackadoos who think that fighting is the core of hockey still, you know, I guess you're right. I guess the Bruins just need to fight every game.
Yeah. They'd be 82-0 if they fought every game, right?
Yeah, sure. Fight. Yeah. Every time they fight, they win. Chirp two, rough figures here. But this was from Ty Anderson. But since Hampus Lindholm returned to the lineup on March 9th, the Lindholm-Brandon Carlo pair has been on the ice for 11 goals against in about 120 minutes or so of all situational play. So the Bruins have allowed 11 goals in the 290 minutes or so with that pairing off the ice. So the Bruins rose to the physical challenge by Florida. Finally, does this bode well for them going into the playoffs? And a listener asked how to solve this Lindholm-Carlo pairing, but I think you saw it toward the end of the game. Be more physical.
Yeah, that's the answer for those guys. Did you know that fight was Hampus Lindholm's first career fight in the NHL?
That was his first career fight.
And wow. His first career fight in the league. Wow. I mean, he's a nice guy. Brandon Carlo's a nice guy, too.
Yeah,
they need to play more like they played last night. Brandon Carlo, yes. I think this year, overall, has been more physical than he has been. Mm-hmm. Is it enough?
I would agree.
No, it is not enough.
Nope.
He can still do more. And Hampus Lindholm needs to do a lot more. And the fact that he stood up to Sam Bennett last night was a giant step, in my opinion, in the right direction. Yep. And they need to, that's the difference. That's the reason. If they're going to be out, especially if they're going to be out against other teams' top lines, like if that's the Bruins, you know, so-called shutdown line, if they're going to be out there against the other team's top lines, they have to be much more nasty. Much, much, much more nasty. You don't necessarily have to fight, but you have to use your big bodies to cross-check, clear the front of the net, make people not want to come in there. Not necessarily box them out and lift their sticks. Make them not want to go there. That's the difference between a nasty physical defenseman and a guy who just, you know, takes care of someone's stick. You know, that's not the same thing, especially in the playoffs. So
I think Lindholm, especially if I think it'll help him be engaged more and give him a little more confidence, because last year he really struggled in the first round. It seemed like he didn't really want any real contact, and he was kind of, you know, really indecisive. The hard forechecking really bothered him. Mm-hmm. But I think if he stands up to Sam Bennett now, maybe that turns a corner for him. And maybe because the players, they listen to the nonsense.
Sure.
Like, he knows that people think he's soft.
Yeah.
Like, he knows this. So if he has some of that, you know, kind of confidence from being more physical, getting in a fight, you know, he survived it. Like, maybe that's all he really needed to say, okay, I can do this part of it too. And I agree on Carlo. I think he's been pretty good largely most of the year. And I think he's been more physical. I think he's been a little bit better after the whistle and that type of thing. And then when he stood up to Tkachuk last night at the end of the game, I thought that was great. Like, I think that's what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that pairing really needs to play that way, and they'll be fine because they're both good players. Like, they'll be fine. So but I think it's necessary, and they're going to be part of the fall guys if it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Because if they play this way with those kind of numbers, then there's going to be a big hefty blame. And then you have to wonder, you know, do you have to move on from a Lindholm, or do you have to change the dynamic of your defense, which we've talked about?
Yeah. You know? I mean, Lindholm really needs to be, for that pairing, he needs to be much better, because he needs to be the one going back on pucks and making the decisions to pass the puck out of the zone. That's not really Brandon Kylo's game. You know, McAvoy can do it. You know, Lindholm is your other guy who's supposed to be your, you know, your really good puck moving defenseman. And if he's worried about getting knocked around, you know, you see the turnovers and hemmed in their own zone and problems with that. So he really has to be much better and kind of raise his game, not necessarily to the level he was at the beginning of last year, because that's just unfair. He was playing at a ridiculous level, and you can't expect him to do that for an entire season or entire playoff, because that just hasn't been in his nature over the course of his career. But to approach that would really help the Bruins a lot in the playoffs.
100%, and I agree. So I think you know, they're a major focus when it comes to the success of the team, because they both play heavy minutes, and mm-hmm. That needs to be a good pairing. It would help McAvoy out a lot if that was the case, too. So we'll see how that goes for them. Chirp 3, per an NHL source, the Bruins are front runners to sign forward in 2023 Frozen Four hero Jacob Quillen, but are not in on his teammate Colin Graf with Quinnipiac. And more at Boston Hockey Now. Bruins can clinch the playoffs with 1 point tonight against Tampa. For a shitty Southbridge team, that's pretty good, eh?
Yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be a year that they weren't, you know, expected to do much. I mean, I went back and looked at some of the ESPN predictions for the season. A lot of them had them missing the playoffs. A lot of them had them as, like, the first or second wild card team. A lot of them had them third in the division. So they had them kind of much lower down than where they've been, you know, over the course of the year. So I think the Bruins have overperformed a little bit based on expectations going into the year. So they've been doing pretty well, and here they are with the chance to be the second team that clinches the playoff berth with a point tonight.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's good that they responded the way they did last night. I'm really interested to see how they play second night of back-to-back against another good team. If they come out tonight and play the same kind of way and win, then we may have seen a turning point in Florida. We really may have. In that whole practice and stepping up, Marchand fighting, Lindholm fighting, Wotherspoon stepping up to Tkachuk, all of it. Like, all of it being, okay, almost like a turning point in the Vancouver series in the finals, where they just say enough's enough and they just start fighting back.
Yeah.
And maybe it is. Maybe it is a turning point kind of thing.
Charlie Coyle.
They come out and they shit on their, and shit their pants. Then here we are again.
You know? Yeah. Charlie Coyle last night, by the way, had, you know, didn't have any points, but had 7 or 8 hits in that game last night. So he was certainly throwing his body around. And when he does that, and Marchand, you know, steps up and fights, I think he really, you know, those guys kind of set the table, set the message of how the Bruins needed to respond to these guys. You know, Marchand's 5'9", he's fighting Mikkola, who's 6'4". I mean, he's given up, you know, 7 inches or whatever and you know, got a couple shots in, but then, you know, thrown to the ice. And Lindholm, you know, it wasn't the fact that they actually fought, it was the fact that they actually stood up for themselves. And if they can continue to do that and match the physicality, I think they'll be fine. They're a good team. They're a good team, and they're going to be, you know, a tough out with the goaltending and the defense and, you know, some star players. You know, they're going to be a tough out if they can match that physicality. But that's the big thing. Can they do that for 3 months or however long it takes to, you know, go deep into the playoffs? That'll be, you know, that'll be the challenge.
It will. Chirp number 4, is Charlie McAvoy the key to the success of your Boston Bruins?
So I was looking at this, and somebody, I can't recall who posted this, but when the Bruins, when he scores a goal, the Bruins are 8-1. When he has a point, they have 5 regulation losses in 31 games.
Wow.
So when he is playing like a top 5-10 defenseman, the Bruins usually win. And when he doesn't, they aren't as good. And that's clear as day. And I was looking at it before his 2-point game last night. He was pointless in like 10 or 11 games in a row. He just hasn't been great. Hasn't been himself. And they need him to be that stud back there. That's, you know, scoring goals and getting assists. And he had a big hit last night on Reinhardt. You know, when he's kind of the alpha dog back there and playing well and playing with confidence, they are a different team. They are. Whether he, you know, it's hard to say that he, you know, one guy makes all the difference, but it definitely, because he plays a lot of minutes. So when he's playing a lot of minutes at a very high level, they're an extremely tough team to beat.
Yeah, without question. He is, I mean, he plays 25 minutes a game, whatever. He's going to play more in the playoffs. So, yeah, he's a big factor without question. And we just talked about Carlo and what he has to bring to the table. And if anything happens to McAvoy, if he's not playing well, it puts even more pressure on Carlo.
Sure.
So, yes, it's a big factor for sure. And he has to be the Drew Doughty and the you know, all the list of guys.
Pat Letang, yeah.
All the guys over the years who have been stud defensemen who have led cup runs. He's got to be that guy.
Chris Letang.
And until he's that guy, then it's hard to put him in the conversation of the top 3 or 4 defensemen in the league.
Sure, yeah.
It's just hard to do. So, because he doesn't bring quite the offensive numbers those other guys do. So this is what he needs to be, for sure. All right, Chirp 5. Parker Weatherspoon and Andrew Peak are the third pair. And is it the third pair come playoff time? Weatherspoon and Peak played 11:43 last night. It was 1-0 Bruins, 5-2 in shots for the Bruins. A good effort for them. And then Weatherspoon stands up to Tkachuk. And that could be your third pairing.
I think it should be. I think it should be your third pairing in the playoffs. I don't think Lowry's ready for the physicality of the playoffs. And I think he still makes some mistakes that, you know, you can't really live with in the playoffs. You know, it's fine, you know, for him to learn in the regular season. And this is part of my point of why I thought he should have been getting minutes in the regular season down the stretch of some of these games where he was benched. Because now you can't really use him in the playoffs because you don't trust him. So right. I think the Weatherspoon Peak pairing has been good. I think they both play a physical style. They're both willing to block shots. They're both willing to fight. I don't know if Weatherspoon is particularly great at fighting, but he's willing to do it. Peak has been really good and very, very solid since he joined the Bruins. I believe I don't know what his plus minus was last night, but I think he's a +3. He's playing about 13, 14, 15 minutes a night. You know, and he's physical in the corners and he's wins puck battles. He had a really good play last night where it was 4-on-4 and Florida was going to get a short power play for like 17, 20 seconds. And Peak got the puck. And instead of just firing it down the ice on a 4-on-4, he held on to it, brought it back behind his net, and essentially killed off the 20 seconds that Florida would have had for power play time just by being smart and having game awareness and good hockey IQ. So I think it's things like that and his physical play that really will kind of add to the Bruins. And I think he's exactly the type of guy that we were talking about wanting for the bottom pair, a guy that's physical and is big and will hit you and grind on you and protect your, you know, the front of the net and your goalie. So I think he's been an excellent addition so far. And I think you might be looking at this in a couple of years saying, wow, the Andrew Peak trade was a pretty good move. And he ended up being kind of a steal at the end of the day.
Right. Sure. And then Nevin from Twitter, he wanted to hear our thoughts on Peak. Weatherspoon, by the way, +7, 17:50 average ice time.
Okay.
Wow. But Nevin says he'd love to hear thoughts on Peak. He hasn't been able to watch much. So I'll tell you, I'm happy with Peak in that acquisition. for the reasons you just said. Like, we wanted guys who, I mean, we keep talking about the third pairing when they won the cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be that type of pairing. It was kind of hard to play against, kind of, you know, we talk about that all the time, but, you know, just kind of standing up to guys, playing with a little bit of an edge. You're only going to play, you know, 12 minutes a game, probably come playoff time, you know, just maybe one of them can penalty kill, you know, stay, get in front of the net, protect your goalie, you know, keep it simple and those types of things. And I think they have the possibility, and they've done it already, of sort of playing well off each other.
Yeah, I think so. I think they have a pretty good chemistry with each other. And I think that's exactly what you need out of your third pair. Tough to play against, you know, in your own end. And look, after every shift, it's essentially 0-0 and they don't give up any goals while they're out there and give the other team a hard time, that's a win, in my opinion. Like, sure, for your third pair to go out there, you don't get scored on, and you rough up the other team's guys while you're out there, and then, you know, your shift's over, that's a win. That's a nice job. You ate some ice time up that Charlie McAvoy or Brandon Carlo or somebody else doesn't have to cover, you know? And so that's exactly what you need from those guys. Killing penalties, blocking shots, doing whatever it takes to win the games, and just being strong and sturdy in your own end. I mean, you can't ask for really more than that from those guys.
I mean, right now, Peak is, you know, 17 minutes a game. He's a +4 in 6 games with them. He has an assist. He has only 2 giveaways.
Yeah.
Like, so he's playing simple, playing smart. You know, he's been good. He's been fine. I actually saw someone on Twitter, I think it was, say they hadn't really noticed him, which is a good thing.
Exactly.
Like, you don't want to notice.
Perfect.
Him.
Yeah. Right? You know, if he's in the offensive end, maybe you want to notice him. If he does something, you're like, ooh, right. You know, like Lowry, a couple toe drags in the offensive end, some goals. That's nice. But in the defensive end, you don't want to notice him at all. Like, it's, sure, you know, like, Peak passes to Coyle. Coyle gets it out of the zone. Win. You know, it's not Lowry passes to Reinhart who scores. It's not that. That's not what you're looking for. So, any kind of, you know, positive performance in your own zone that leads to you going unnoticed is definitely a good thing.
Oh, it's a great thing. Like, there was a game where I was like, boy, I haven't really heard his name much, but that's not bad. You know, again, he's not going to give you a lot of offense. He has 2 shots on net. Like, he's just not going to do a lot of that thing, Peak, but he's going to be a little bigger, a little more physical. He's going to be solid with the puck. Perfect.
He skates pretty well too for a big guy that I wasn't aware of.
Pretty well. And that's a big step up from Derek Forbort.
Sure. Sure is.
A big step up. Who was like a deer on ice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then Chirp 6. Realistic offensive plan for the Bruins. And then if you have a reach option on what they could do, and this comes from Joe Phil on Twitter.
A realistic offseason plan for me, I don't want Elias Lindholm, I've decided. I don't want him. Okay. I think he's been down the last few years. The face-off part I do like. I'm more of like give me a Chandler Stephenson type, a big guy who's going to be probably similar to Charlie Coyle. Maybe if you played him with great players, like if he was playing with a Pasternak, maybe that brings some offense out of him. But that would be a guy that I would want for the Bruins. Big, strong guy down the middle. So he'd be someone I'd be looking at. I would want to add some depth on defense. I think the guys that you have right now, I think, makes up your top 6. I mean, Lowry, I think, slides in for Grizzlick when Grizzlick's a UFA. I think he's gone. I think Forbort's gone. So I think you're looking at, you know, McAvoy, you know, Lowry or Lindholm, Carlo, and Waterspoon and Peak. I think that's your 6. Mm-hmm. And then you fill in. If you can improve that, certainly try to do that. But I think you need help on the middle, and then it's, you know, do you sign JD to a short-term deal, possibly, depending on how he does in the playoffs, or do you go for a winger that can score with a guy like, you know, I guess the reach would be a guy like Stamkos if he happens to leave Tampa Bay. You know, there's a guy who can certainly put the puck in the net. And would give you some more offensive firepower. But I'm looking at a guy like Stevenson and then some depth on D, and then, you know, hopefully you fill in a little bit with some scoring punch on the wings. Plus you have the young kids that you probably need to give a shot to, your Merkulovs and Lysels and Patras. So
yeah, so I'm going with, you know, realistic. They sign Swayman, they trade Allmark, they let all the UFAs pretty much go, and they decide on DeBrusk. Maybe they trade his rights for somebody else in a one for one change of scenery type thing, or they trade him for some draft pick assets. Maybe, I don't know, but that's going to be. He's going to have to take just about what he's been making, in my opinion, 1 or 2 year deal, right at kind of where he's making now. Like there's no raise in his sights, I don't think. I mean, he is kind of what he is. You know, he's doing kind of what Frederick's doing right now offensively, and Frederick's making 2.3,
right?
Like even 4 million's a stretch for DeBrusk right now. But, so we'll see what happens there. My reach has always been Jonathan Marchessault.
I love Marchessault.
I like the guy a lot.
Yeah.
Playoff performer. I say try to go. He's a little older, and he's not big. He's 5'9", whatever. But, you know, the guy's a playoff, proven playoff guy and a really good player, an under-the-radar player. And I think he's a guy I wouldn't mind them moving on from DeBrusk and fitting Marchessault right in there. He's making 5 now. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to cost, 5.5, 6, whatever.
Yeah, probably 6.
I say give it him, give him a.
Yeah, I love Marchessault because he competes every night and he produces, you know.
Right.
And so he hasn't always played with the best talent. I mean, he's played with, you know, talent now, but when he first was in Vegas, he wasn't playing with the greatest talent, and that team went all the way to the Cup Finals. So he certainly can do things on the line. So I would love that. I'd be in on that.
I mean, the thing you have going for you with a guy like Stamkos is you can be in cup contention next year.
Sure.
If he's the kind of the guy, you know, he bring him in and say, you know, we can win this thing. Come on, Stammer.
Yeah.
Play with us. Like, and maybe you get him just with that thought alone. Like you can be a difference maker and we can slide Coyle back down to C3 and, or you can be C2 or whatever. And we can give it a run, give it a go one last time or whatever. Maybe you can sell that to him. But the money goes quick.
It does go
after,
quick.
After sure. Swayman is at 7 or whatever it is, probably now you're down to like 15 and you lost a bunch of UFAs. You got to fill some spots. You're going to have to go with some kids. But if you want to make a real roster changing move like a Marchessault, that's like the half of the rest of it.
Right.
And you're right back to kind of squeezing pennies.
Yeah.
So it goes pretty quick. And that's why DeBrusk is such an interesting thing. Like, do you really want to do that with him again?
Yeah.
And kind of is what he is.
And do you want to do that on a long-term deal? I'm not sure you do.
No. I don't. Like, I would give him 2 more years and say, okay, here's a 2-year deal.
Would you give him
29 years old.
Would you give him 2 times 5?
Jesus. See,
he's going to want a raise. I mean, he's going to want a raise.
Right. But
does he deserve one? I don't know if he deserves one either. I don't think he does. But
I don't love it. I think I go 2 for 8.
Yeah.
Again. And I just don't love that either. I don't.
I'm not. I mean, if it comes down to, you know, Marchessault, you know, 4 times, you know, 6.5, or DeBrusk,
right,
you know, 2 times 5 or 4 times 5 or 4 times 5.5, I'm going with Marchessault, I think.
Yeah, I'm going with Marchessault for 5.
You know?
He's making 5 now, so who's the better player?
Yeah, I mean, Marchessault, you'll probably have to go 6, 6.5 at least, I would say.
Okay.
But I would still do that, you know, for another couple mil a year, you know, even though he's older, I would probably do that.
I mean, who are you? I mean, if you look at your I'm going to look at the $5 million players right now out there. Joel Farabee.
Yeah.
Jared McCann, Ryan Strome, Tyler Johnson, Rickard Rakell, Granlund, Barbashev, Marchessault, Tarasenko, Palmieri, Riley Smith. So is he?
Yeah, Marchessault is better than like 90% of those guys, if not all of them. Guys,
but is DeBrusque?
I mean, he's like, probably
is he better than Drake Batherson.
No,
is he better than Connor Garland.
No,
Blake Coleman.
Yes, probably.
Lindholm's in that, you know, 4-8-5.
Yeah.
Perron. Obviously, Zaka, Olofsson, Tuck.
Yeah, Coyle's in there, too.
Coyle's in there at 5. Coyle's at 5. 5 and change. And
change, yeah. So yeah. He's probably, like, better than half of those guys. So he's probably going to want to get into that area, you know?
But, yeah, I mean, 2 years. Yeah, maybe I do 2 for 10. You know,
I mean, if you could do, if you, two. If you bring him in and do 2 for 10 and you can still somehow get Marchessault, now,
yeah, then you're,
now you're you have some depth. Now you're cooking with gas.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's Swayman, Marchessault, DeBrusque. That's all your money.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all your money. That's 19 mil.
Yeah.
If it's 775.
Right. And you have 22 and change, 22 and a half, right. I think.
So you're really looking at...
And you have some RFAs, like you have Boquist, who's an RFA, and Bussey's an RFA. You probably have to give him a...
Heinen, will you bring him back, Heinen?
Yeah, I mean, Heinen, maybe. If Heinen wanted to take a short... But he's going to want to raise because he's had a good year. He's had a good year.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had to take a shit
right.
contract.
But he's not going in this time. He's going to probably want, you know... Right. Frederick money, he's probably going to want 2 and change.
I would think someone would give him 2 now based on this, based on this season.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's a bad call. So, but let them.
That's the thing. It'll probably be the Bruins, honestly.
I know.
Because he's one of Monty's guys, you know.
Yeah.
He does a lot of the little things. And, you know, he chips in ish offensively.
Right.
Not great, but he's, you know.
Do you go in with Beecher, Brazo, Heinen next year, fourth line?
Yeah, sure. I would love that. I'd be all in. So but
low cost.
But if you could get, like, Boquist as an RFA, could you do the same thing with Boquist at a cheaper rate? And right. Boquist has speed, and he's shown some offensive touch, too. I probably would go with that route and save, you know, $1 million.
Yeah.
You know,
you're going to have to save $1 million.
I mean, if you want to spend on some of the higher priced guys, you're going to have to cut towards the bottom of your roster and either fill it in with low guys or low cost, you know, veterans.
Right. So right now you have Peak, Wotherspoon, Lindholm, Carlo, McAvoy, and who?
Lowry,
all under contract.
Yep.
So your defense is pretty much set.
Right. Depth there.
You're fine.
Yep.
So that's good.
It is.
And then with Swayman, you have to trade Allmark. I mean, you just have to.
Yeah.
Because that Allmark, if you keep Allmark, you're preventing yourself from getting a Marchessault type of guy. You are. You can't.
Right.
Can't have them both.
Right.
Like that's just too much. So you wheel him, and then you're filling in guys. Because Zaka's under contract. Coyle, Pasternak, Marchand's one more year.
Mm-hmm.
So your core is kind of there, you know.
Geeky, Frederick.
Geeky, yeah.
You know, those guys are all under contract, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean.
And then you have a guy like Patra, who was here half the year. You have a guy like Patra, like Lysell, who, you know, I guess he just got dinged up, and hopefully it's not a career-threatening thing, but might have had another serious concussion in Providence over the weekend. He just hit the 50-point mark, which is, you know, a pretty good milestone for Providence players. Merkulov, I believe, has 58 points and is third or fourth in the league in scoring, I believe.
He is, yeah.
So
he's had a great year.
That's another guy that, you know, is he someone you give a spot to? Or, you know, you're hopeful maybe that he wins a spot. Uh-huh. So... it'll be interesting to see how that all kind of shakes out. You know, are there guys there, you know, obviously JBR is gone. So there's probably an opening there. So there's some guys that they can plug in. I would rather see them plug it in with higher end talent. But I mean, I guess you have to see at some point what you have in the younger guys.
Right. So if you deal DeBrusque, then you can come in with like a Marchessault type of player. If
sure.
you don't, I don't know if you really can.
Or no, because that would probably prevent you from, you know, Lysel or Mikulov getting a shot, probably.
Right, because then you keep them down again, and Mikulov needs to have one. Lysel, maybe he can start down there, but Mikulov, in my opinion, needs to. There's not much more he can do there.
No.
Time for him to come up here and figure it out.
Yeah,
you know,
I would agree.
And I don't think he's a fourth-line center.
He's not.
Either. Like, he's going to come up and play top six.
Or at least top nine to start. Opinion. But give him an honest shot, you know, top nine. Like,
right.
You know, he's got to play with, you know, and not 6 minutes a night either, you know.
Right. Well, that's the other thing.
Right. He's got to play with some offensive, you know, some offensive talent, whether that's, you know, he starts on the third line and occasionally he'll cycle through and get a shift or two or three during a game, depending on how he's doing with, you know, the likes of Pasternak or Marchand or somebody like that, Coyle. So, you know, we can see what he can do with those type of players. You know, that probably needs to happen.
Yeah, 100%. And then Chirp 7. The Bruins have until June 1st to sign goalie prospect Reed Dick or lose him as a UFA, and August 15th to sign Quinn Olson or lose his rights as well. I would think they sign Dick and lose Olson. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Keep the Dick and lose Olson. That's where I'm at too. I think you can never have too many goalies in your system. And the Bruins do a good job developing them. So if they can have, you know, a guy like Dick in the system, and whether it's, you know, he comes up and plays for Providence or, you know, makes it to the Bruins eventually, or they use him as a trade chip, you know, that's something that they should definitely consider. And then Olson, you know, he's been fine in college, but he hasn't really done anything that, you know, sets the world on fire. So I think losing his rights wouldn't be, you know, any huge loss, especially if they're going after the, you know, the likes of Quillen at Quinnipiac too. You know, there's a guy that kind of could take his spot.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about Reed Dick as well is that he has really progressed since they drafted him.
Yeah.
Like, he's had his best year. He's a second team all-star in the WHL with Swift Current this year. And he was a little banged up, so he may have been first team. Like, he's had a really good year for them. Mm-hmm. He was a project to begin with.
Yeah.
His numbers were kind of skewed. He was on bad teams. He was also very raw, but he's really learned the position. He's big. He's athletic.
Yeah.
Like, he's becoming a really good prospect. And you're losing probably Kyle Kaiser and Linus Allmark, at least.
Yeah.
And then you have Bussy that you have to sign.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Swayman that you have to sign. So Swayman, Bussy, DiPietro, and then Dick. And I don't know what's happening with Svedback with the Providence College Friars. So if he goes back a junior year or if he signs his ELC. So I think you're right. You want to have depth in your goaltending, and I think they keep Dick. But the thing about Olson is Olson had a decent year this year, but he was kind of down. He's 22 years old. He'll be 23 in May. So he's an older prospect. He's played five seasons at Minnesota Duluth. He had just four goals.
I know. I mean, he hasn't.
So he's not. He's had 7, 3, 6, 7, and 4 goals. And he's a center. He's an offensive player.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't done anything really. Like I said, hasn't done really anything to light the world on fire. So I think I'm fine with him, you know, with them letting him, you know, walk and focusing more on Dick.
And like you said, if they get the kid from Quinnipiac, then that he slots in as a better prospect right away.
Absolutely.
And you can move on from Olson.
Mm-hmm.
DraftKings Sportsbook. Boston's hometown sportsbook is live right here in Massachusetts. Bet local on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings to celebrate. All new customers will receive up to $200 in bonus bets when you sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook using code ITR. You can now bet local on money lines, spreads, props, and more with one of America's top-rated sportsbooks, DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up with the code ITR to get up to $200 in bonus bets to use. Now that mobile sports betting is live in Massachusetts, that's code ITR only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
If you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, call 800-327-5050 or visit helplinema.org to speak with a trained specialist free and confidentially 24/7, 21 plus. physically present in mass. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply, opt-in required. Bonus issued as free bets. Terms at DraftKings.com/MA.
All right, the beauty this week for the Bruins is David Pastrnak.
This'll teach those filthy bastards who's lovable.
Pasta gets his 100th point. He now has 101 as he assisted on the game winner from Zacha last night. 45 goals, 56 assists for 101 points. Last season, he had 113 points, so he's 12 points away with 9 games to play. He's played every game. He's played 20 minutes per game, and he gets a lot of grief for the type of player he is and so forth, but I mean, he does at 20 minutes per game as a forward and to play every single game last year and now every single game this year is pretty impressive for his type of player.
It really is. His type of player. Right. He's more physical this year than he has been in the past, I feel like. And it's not all the time. So, don't pretend like I'm saying he's out there banging bodies all the time, but he will lay some hits and surprise some people for sure. Mm-hmm. He had a reverse hit on Keith Tkachuk.
Beauty.
Not Keith.
Yeah. Keith felt it. Yeah. I swear to God.
On Tkachuk last night that set up McAvoy's goal. And he didn't get an assist on the play, but that was really the start of the play. He kind of shielded the puck and got the puck back to Grizzlick, who got it over to McAvoy for the goal. So, I mean, to Zacha, then to Grizzlick, then for the goal. So, he's kind of growing his game, every year and still producing the type of numbers that you would want to see from your star player. And, I feel like he's kind of growing into a leadership role and he's still going to give you the bad turnovers because he's a creative player. And that's what happens when guys are creative. They're going to try things that normal hockey players, normal people wouldn't try. And occasionally he's going to fail and that's going to look terrible. But then when he does the right things and the puck goes in or he makes the move and it goes in, you're wowed and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that and I can't believe it worked. So, for some of that stuff, you got to take the good with the bad, but there's been much, much, much more good than bad with him.
Do you know how many hits he had last season?
I don't.
91.
Fuck, really?
Last season. He has 60 this year. He had 91 last season. 91. In this season, he has the highest defensive zone starts at 32% than he's had since 2021.
Wow.
He had 33%. So his D zone starts are higher than they were last year. And he's like you said, he's much more physical than people give him credit for because you see the flash and the and the Guy Lafleur type of thing, which he really is like a modern day Guy Lafleur type player.
Yeah.
And people just don't give him that credit. And he's a foreign player and there's some of that biased with, the Bruins fans have that bias. They have that bias with Krejci and Rask and, they just don't consider those players as tough and so forth, which is bogus sometimes, it just is what it is, but he just doesn't, he's playing 20 minutes a game and he's playing every single game for 2 straight years.
Yeah.
Like my goodness, like he's not just sitting out games and faking injuries and avoiding contact and all that stuff. I mean, he really puts it out there, and he's a really good player and a player that you would absolutely miss if he was gone.
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely miss. I mean, 100%. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the top 3-4 players in Bruins history.
Probably.
Yeah. He's going to go down as one of the top 3 or 4 players. He's going to be up there with Busick and Orr and Bork. And then you start talking about Neely and Pastrnak, and he's probably going to pass Neely.
Yeah, and Bergeron. Yeah,
from longevity alone.
Sure. Right? I mean, he'll probably end up the second highest goal scorer in Bruins history behind Esposito.
In history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's shooting up the fucking charts already. He's like 8th already. Or something. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's only 27.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Like he's
just coming into his prime.
My God. If he played till he's 37, that's 10 more seasons.
Yeah.
And if he scored 30 goals, that's 300 goals.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy. He's up to 800 goals or so. Like, he's approaching like Ovechkin.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
God almighty.
He has puts together a few more 45, 50 goal seasons. Yeah. You know, there's, you know, then you got some, yeah, then you got some things to talk about.
Sure you do. Sure you do.
And that's great for the old podcast, isn't it?
It is. We'll keep talking about that till kingdom come.
Yeah.
We'll see who goes longer. David Pasta's career, our career.
I think Pasta's got us there.
Pasta's got to head.
Yeah. Start. I'm going to retire and stop playing golf sooner rather than later, I think. And the bender this week is Andrew Berkshire.
I'm a bender.
For those of you who don't know who this is, he is a writer who covers Montreal Canadiens for Montreal Hockey Now. And he had an absolutely wild take on Zach Hyman, basically saying that the reason that he scored 50 goals was because he was rich and born on third base, essentially. He had all the advantages growing up. His parents bought a hockey league for him and his siblings to play in. He got the best trainers, NHL caliber training from when he was a little kid. So it's all about the advantages and has nothing to do with the hard work that Hyman puts in or has put in to score over 50 goals at 31 years of age. He's playing with some great players too. And that was brought up by Mr. Berkshire. Saying that he was lucky that he was playing with the likes of Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid. The Connor McDavid thing, I'm going to give him credit for, because he was a free agent and he said, where can I go and make some decent money and play with some great players? So he sought out Edmonton and said, I want to play with Connor McDavid. That's a smart guy, in my opinion. If your bread and butter is scoring goals at the net front, and you can have Connor McDavid rushing the puck up ice, or Leon Draisaitl, or, you know, that power play, and then feeding you pucks at the doorstep, that is brilliant. That is not lucky. That is excellent job by him and his management team and his agent to get him in a situation where he can take advantage of what he does best. Sure. And I don't care if you had $1 million or $50 or $20. Mm-hmm. You have to put in a tremendous amount of work to make it to the NHL level. And I don't care if it was with a silver spoon or a rusty spoon.
Who cares?
Yeah. You have to put in an insane amount of work to get to that level and perform that way. And he goes where you get punished. So it's not like here's some little rich guy that's, you know, sitting out on the fringe and flipping shots in from the left wing boards. He is at the net front. Like, 75% of his goals are scored basically in the paint. So he's going where you get punished to score goals, but he still goes there and he still scores them. And is that, you know, lucky? Is that being rich? I think that's, fortitude. It's like, you know, I'm going to do what it takes to score a goal. And maybe I'm going to take a cross check for it, but he's still going into those areas and scoring. So I can't believe that somebody would come out and say, the only reason that he's done this is because of, you know, his monetary advances, you know, or stature over other people. Just boggles my mind.
Yeah, I think Andrew needs to check his hymen at the door because, here's the thing about Hyman. You said yourself is that you were afraid of like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and guys that play with great elite talent because they do have inflated numbers, and you can make that argument. I'll debate that with you, and it's a fair debate. Fine, but the whole Silver Spooner thing just coming at a weird angle on it, that's Zach Hyman is a good hockey player. He's been a good hockey player, and I'm sure he goes somewhere else and do fine. Like, would he score 50 goals or be out of his mind? Probably not. But he scored 30, probably. He's a good player. We've had that discussion about getting players off of, you know, playing against talent. He's played with two of the best players in the world, maybe the two best players in the world. Yeah. So he's fortunate for sure. But I don't think it's lucky, like you said, because he picked his spot, and it was savvy, smart move for his career.
Yeah.
He's going to make a lot of money because of it. So good move. But this was weird, and it's one of those, you know, I'm going to say weird stuff on social media so people will click and follow and viral. And like Vince McMahon said, no such thing as bad publicity. Yeah. So everybody's talking about him. All these people are liking his stuff and retweeting it and all this stuff. Great.
But but the whole thing of like pretending like you're some kind of a Robin Hood, like we got to shine the light on all these rich people that, you know, are controlling the sport and the poor people can't get into
conspiracy.
Yeah. The poor people can't get into the sport. And yes, hockey is expensive. It is.
Of course.
It's an expensive sport. My son played.
We had this discussion about golf.
Yeah. I mean, and Formula One, like everything, like sports are expensive. But at the same time, if a less fortunate kid is playing and he's really, really good, the scouts, the people that matter will find you. They will. Yes. If you're a really, really good player, it doesn't matter what team you're playing on. It doesn't matter if you're playing AAU or whatever. They will find you if you're a really, really good player. So, you know, that's still how things work. They'll find the good players, word of mouth, whatever it is. So it's not like, oh, just because you have all this money that automatically, you know, get you a D1 scholarship or get you playing, you know, minor league hockey in Canada or get you to the NHL. It doesn't work that way. There's plenty of rich people who have played hockey that haven't made it. Plenty of poor people that have played hockey that have made it. So, you know, that's really not what it comes down to. It comes down to the dedication and the hard work and the hours that the athletes put in. And that's what it comes down to in the end, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird take, and there was some things about it, like that he was saying that I agree with, like you can't be anything you want to be and stuff like that. I've said that for years. Like there's stuff like that I agreed with in his take, but that whole, you know, elitist thing is conspiracy was kind of weird. And like you said, like Hyman and Nugent Hopkins and Rob Brown and guys who have had Kevin Stevens who have had inflated numbers because they're playing with great players. Sure. What do you want them not to score goals?
Yeah.
And they're playing with McDavid, pass it back. Like, I don't know. So, weird take. And we'll see what happens with Andrew. Good old Andrew. All right. Centennial season spotlight. Let's start the fire burning with some Tuukka Rask.
Oh yeah. Two U's, two K's. 2 points.
Oh, yeah. 2 points, brother. I mean, Tuukka should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. His numbers are just off the charts. Mm-hmm. He's the best goalie that the Bruins have ever had.
Yeah.
You know, if you talk about raw talent, you talk about performance, you know, his numbers are so much better than Cheever's. Mm-hmm. You know, they're close to Thomas. Like, that can be a debate. And Thomas won the thing, so that's, you know, where the debate is, but he's still a more talented, gifted player than Thomas was. He just got a bad rap for kind of his personality, rubbed people the wrong way at times and said things bluntly that people didn't love sometimes. And then the whole thing with the playoffs, leaving the team and that whole thing. So there are some black marks, I guess, against him. But I think he's the best goalie they've ever had.
I agree. I think he is the best goalie they've ever had, too. And, you know, I love Cheevers. I was a Cheevers guy. And Thomas will always hold a special place in my heart for winning that cup and, you know, being Conn Smythe and all that. So, but Tuukka, when you do look at the numbers and the save percentage and goals against and all that stuff, he's right up there with some of the greatest ever. So he does belong in the Hall of Fame. And in my opinion, he probably should, you know, I think he probably will at some point have his number in the Raptors at the TD Garden.
He should. I mean, he should be the first goalie up there.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it'll throw people in a hizzy fit over Cheevers and stuff and Thomas, but he should be up there. His in his career, a .228 goals against and a .921 save percentage for his career.
Yeah, for his career. Like, that's pretty good.
And in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
.222, .925.
So he's even better in the playoffs. That's what you're saying.
Better.
Huh? That because that there's a narrative out there that that's not the case.
No, better. Yeah, 308 wins in his career, 165 losses. Like the guy was outstanding for many. I mean, he had years where he was 188, 199, 202. Like he just, he's just a tremendous goaltender. And he's one of those guys you're going to romanticize about later on. Be like, wow, he was awesome. And the more shitty goaltenders come through,
right?
You know, you'll be like, oh, remember Rask? Rask was like dynamite. He'd win games. He'd steal games. He completely shut down the Penguins.
Oh, yeah.
They were good.
Yes.
In the playoffs that series.
That was ridiculous. Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. Like, they could not score against them. And with Crosby and Malkin in their prime.
Yeah, he was in their head by the end of that series, no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a playoff series. Mm-hmm. Like, for God's sakes. I mean, Chicago was better than they were, and they blew the game late. I get it. You know, and then game seven, you know, they didn't score. They didn't score. Like,
no.
They couldn't score. They dominated play for the first 10 minutes. Johansson has a shot right in front. Like, he has a golden chance in front. Doesn't score. You know, I mean, so then he takes the rap for that, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of being a goalie is you're going to get all the hate, you know, when there's a series of plays that leads to, you know, whatever happens, you know, when a goal goes in. Yeah, there's some bad ones. There's some soft ones from time to time. But nine times out of 10, it's not the goalie's fault. It's someone else's fault. But the goalie still takes the blame.
Right. And I really think the thing about Rask, I think there were times where he'd kind of let a goal in just to prove a point. Sometimes
you think so?
Sometimes, like, he wouldn't make a little bit of an extra effort to be like, our defense is hemmed in. That asshole made a terrible play. All right, goal. You know, I just believe that in my mind.
Oh, that would be tremendous if he came out now and he was just like, oh, can you believe some of the fucking plays that these guys were making in front of me?
That's what I had in front of me.
Oh, my God. Connor Clifton, you know, skating up ice, throws a hit, falls down, and a guy comes in on a 2-on-0. I'm letting that goal in. Fuck that guy.
He was right to his knees and just fire away, fellas.
Yeah. Oh, I need some Centennial spotlights on that. I need a Tuukka Rask podcast.
Oh, we do.
Can we get him on the podcast?
Yeah, let's get him on the pod. That'd be great. Let's just be candid with Tuukka Rask.
Tuukka, give me some stories about back in the day. Did you let some goals in on purpose or what?
Who was your least favorite teammate? What defenseman?
Yeah, what defenseman really drove you nuts? How many shots went in off defense when you were like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Can you get out of the way so I can fucking save it? You aren't me. You know, stop trying to save pucks here. Let me do my job. Get out of the fucking way. Stop having it go off your fucking shin pads.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Providence Bruins beauty of the week. Hey, man, how about Michael Callahan? Remember him?
Like Callahan Otto?
Callahan. He has played 61 games as a defenseman. He has 4 goals and 11 assists. He was a 2018 fifth round pick of the Arizona Coyotes. Coyotes chose to trade him to Boston. And here's what Robert Chalmers, our buddy, had to say, who handles the scouts a lot of the prospects. Mike Callahan is having a nice season with Providence, and it won't go unnoticed. Great leadership, works hard, keeps the game steady. Definitely needs a little work to his defensive game, but when you watch him, he keeps it simple. Definitely going to work hard in camp next season for a spot and a good, maybe a spot to be a depth defenseman next year.
There you go. Maybe there's your 7th D. In Boston next year, because he's a big kid. I don't know how physical he is. Hopefully he plays with some snarl. I don't know that. I haven't watched enough of him to know if he has that in him, but those are the kind of guys that they need to start bringing in, guys like Peak that are big, you know, long stick, physical, you know, tough to play against. That's, they need more of that. And, you know, they also need to be able to play hockey and pass the puck out of their own zone.
Right.
So,
and he is an RFA with arbitration rights. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll get to arbitration. So maybe they sign him to a 1-year deal or something and keep him in the system, especially if he's been playing well and they want a low, low risk, high reward kind of depth guy. next year.
Yeah, or they sign him to a little bit more money and then give him a two-way.
Right.
You know, and then he can, you know, grow his game still at Providence, and they'll bring him up if they need him for, you know, injury sake or emergencies.
Right. So you can follow Robert Chalmers on X at Ivan. He does a lot of great prospect stuff.
Yeah,
shows a lot of clips.
Yeah. He's a great resource. He's a guy we've had on the pod. He's tremendous. Knows a lot about minor league hockey and the college game as well. So you should definitely shoot him a follow.
Hmm. And the prospect spotlight this week, Andre Gasso from the Boston College Eagles. He was a draft pick of your Boston Bruins back in 2021, a seventh rounder at pick 213, 6'4", 205, played on a loaded BC
yes, sir.
Team that's in the NCAA tournament. They won Hockey East. They won Hockey East tournament, and yes. They are number one team in the country.
Yes.
And they are playing Michigan Tech, I believe, tomorrow. And Gasso had, you know, a pretty good year at 11 goals, 17 assists for 28 points in 36 games, similar to last year where he had 29 points. So a consistently good year for Gasso, playing with Oscar Zeljvic, another prospect for the Bruins, and a loaded team, like we said, like Grice says, five or six, like, first-round picks on that team.
Cutter Goldie, anyway. Will Smith, and
Ryan
Leonard are playing. Yeah, the freshman have, line are all. Yeah,
like Gabe Perreault.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
Yeah.
They're loaded. But, yeah, he's had a good year for them, and maybe he's a low-rounder that they can get something out of. He's played at a high level, playing with the number one team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is his sophomore year. I would assume he'd play again next year there and then maybe decide on an ELC after that. We'll see.
Yeah, I would say they might give him another year, or maybe he'll come out. You know, if Boston College wins the title, he may come out. They're going to lose. Right. But, you know, then again, he may get
everybody.
They're going to lose all those freshman kids because they've been drafted and so forth. Mm-hmm. So maybe he gets a little bit more of an opportunity next year to, you know, a little more ice time and, you know, a little more power play time and so forth. So maybe that's, you know, an enticement for him to go back. But, we'll see. Hopefully, you know, he blossoms into, you know, a good prospect. He's a big kid. So, you know, hopefully that works out for him and the Bruins, because the Bruins, like we've said consistently, they could certainly use some of those late round picks to hit because of their lack of depth in the farm system.
And Zeljvic is a sophomore as well. He had 37 points in 37 games, 25 assists. He had an excellent year for BC, and he's another guy. Does he come out? He's probably more likely, I think, to come out, but we'll see on those two guys. And again, playing at a high level, producing number one team in the country. I mean, it can't be a bad thing. I mean, it cannot be a bad thing.
No.
We're week ahead for Boston tonight. It'll be the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa, second night of a back-to-back. And then on the 30th at Washington, a team fighting for playoff position. And then on April 2nd at Nashville, one of the hottest teams in the league lately. So this is a tough little stretch right here.
It is. Tonight they have a chance to clinch a playoff spot with the point against Tampa. And then Washington potentially could be a first-round playoff matchup, depending on how the standings fall. So that could be, a couple of teams looking to send messages to each other in that one. And hopefully Tom Wilson stays away from our fragile defenseman.
Hopefully he does. Might be a good night to sit, John McAvoy.
Put some guys in bubble wrap before that game.
Because Washington's been a team that I just thought wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, they traded guys off.
Yeah. I mean, they have 81 points. They're a point behind the Flyers. They're 36, 26, and 9. They don't score a ton of goals. They don't even have 200 goals yet. And they're a minus 26 differential, but somehow, some way, they're hanging in the thing.
Yeah, I mean, Ovechkin seems to have, you know, he had a lull there for a bit, but lately he seemed to have been producing more. Right. And then they have some, you know, they have some good talent. You know, TJ Oshie's been hurt and in and out of lineup, and, you know, they've had injuries with Backstrom and Kuznetsov and, you know, a bunch of guys. So, you know, if they're all back and healthy and producing, you know, they have some talent there.
Right. Tampa Bay is the first wild card at 85 points. Washington is the second wild card at 81, but they're only 1 point behind Philadelphia in the Metro. So they're 2 points ahead of Detroit in the wild card, who has 79. And then you have Jersey at 76, Islanders at 75. So it's coming down to really Washington, Detroit in that thing. And then Nashville is the number one wild card in the West at 90 points. And Vegas has 86 points as the second wild card. They're 6 points ahead of St. Louis, so they're probably going to make it. But, boy, they were close to not being in it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. They had some injuries. I mean, Eichel and Stone were out for quite some time.
They still have, but, like, 21 million and change on long-term IR right now, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So they've been decimated by injuries, but they're also, you know, like you said, playing that game. So they were able to bring in some guys, you know, like Hanifin to kind of supplement their team there. And if they're back and healthy come playoff time, you know, look out.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely look out. I mean, that's a team that you don't want to play as the friggin' second wild card.
No.
At all. I mean, that's a tough one. All right. Go to InsideTheRink.com. And you'll find Bruins Benders merchandise, and follow us on social media at Bruins Benders on X. We appreciate the folks who tweeted out some questions to us and hope that you'll interact with us on the social medias. And subscribe to Inside the Rink YouTube page right now if you're watching on YouTube. And we'll see you again next time. Go Bruins.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.